With Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, I'm Randy Carricker in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. NFL free agency starts next week, and it'll be the biggest sports event happening in the United States of America. Here to talk about that and more is the professor, John Clayton, who joins us from Seattle on 101 ESPN. Professor, always good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. I mean, we're sitting here in the epicenter of the virus, so we're just trying to get through it and seeing if we can at least emerge a little bit quicker than the rest of the country, because it's been pretty bad.
Yeah, John, we're going to get to football for sure, but I do want to talk about life in general first. You are there. You're in Seattle. Can you kind of paint us a picture? I mean, what does the scene look like as this has unfolded the last couple of days?
Vacant and a lot of home stuff. Basically, is what I mean. No social interaction is basically encouraged here in this state. And so, for example, most of the businesses, including the Seahawks, you got Google, you've got Microsoft, you've got Amazon. They're encouraging everybody to work from home. In certain cases, only essential people are going to be in the office. Restaurants are pretty much very much empty when you go in there. That's why I have to go to a restaurant every night to get food for my wife. I don't have any problem doing it because there's not going to be anybody within 6 feet of you that could cough or give you anything. Then, of course, everybody's limiting where they're going to go. Very few people are traveling. Very few people are having even family come in to see them because, again, it's a little bit too dangerous because everything is so infected. Because the way this looks, and, of course, I mean, you look at the numbers that are posted every day on all the networks, it's so low in comparison to reality. I mean, for example, I think what they're talking about is, maybe 180 to 200 people that have been tested positive. The state estimates that on Tuesday, that there's more than 1,000 people that are would test positive, that can get tests, and it doubles just about every 5 to 6 days to a point where by sometime in April, it could be 64,000 people affected. I'm 8 miles away from the care center where there's been 19 to 20 deaths. So that's a little bit scary, but a very scary time right now. I guess the only advantage in this is that living here in Seattle, I have a little bit of a feel for where this is all heading and how bad it is and how quickly maybe it can start to turn around.
Well, so you being in the area and you're trying to isolate as best as you can right now, too. Mm-hmm. But do you have an idea of how people generally there are handling it?
Much the same way. I mean, I'm fortunate in the standpoint that I do all my work from home, and the only time I need to go out is when I have to run and get some medicine for my wife or take her to the doctor or get her food at night. So I don't really have to socially interact or anything of that nature. I mean, now the people at the radio station at 710 ESPN, it's only the essential people on air that are working. Everybody else is working from home. But it's just one where I think, the spirits are okay, but of course, I wouldn't know what it would be like when you have, your kids, because all the schools are pretty much closed, and so all the kids are going to be at home. Some that are in, tough spots, they're trying to find ways to get them food, breakfast and lunch, and they're setting those things up. We're fortunate here in this area because we have some of the best minds in the country to try to work on these things, and that's why if it seems like things are being done drastically here, these are the things that needed to be done to isolate. I just saw a thing in Italy, for example, in the northern part of Italy, and that was the first area, of course, the whole country is now bogged down, but in the northern part where they were the first to close things down, the number turnaround now is starting to become more positive of fewer tests. So the numbers are going down that are testing positive.
John Clayton, the professor with us on 101 ESPN. Before we get to NFL free agency, you tweeted about the XFL. You're confident that even though they had to stop this season halfway through their first regular season, that they'll be back?
Yes, I am. Yeah, because even though certainly there was a bunch of money that was lost and is going to be lost now with no games and no revenue coming in and the lost TV stuff, I think you can see that it worked out well. And, living in the two cities that are considered to be the best success stories, Houston now being the third, being that they went 5-0 and they were getting hot, that you can see that there's a future there for it. And, of course, thanks to Vince McMahon, they do have enough money stashed away to be able to carry it for one more year, if not more. So, no, everything I hear is that they are going to be back next year.
So, John, in following everything with the NFL right now, and like everybody else, right, I get the smartphone, I get updates all the time, what's going on with players. Everything appears to be, for the most part, outside of visits now, not allowing teams and players to college players to visit each other. It seems like business as usual. Is this going to be something that the NFL is going to be able to keep up next week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, it's not really business as usual because, again, all the scouts have been pulled from the road. Scouts are now prohibited to go to workouts. There are no pre-draft visits by draft prospects. You know, there's not going to be very many visits in free agency. And the only reason I think they've not made an announcement on what's going to happen when the start of free agency is the vote for the CBA, because the vote for the CBA goes until 11:59 tomorrow night, East Coast time. And once they know what the vote is going to be, whether it passed or not passed, then I think Sunday they'll make an announcement that they're moving free agency back a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, or whatever it's going to be, because it's too messy right now. And again, you know that usually after the first 4 or 5 days of free agency, when about 80 deals are done, then you need to start getting players out for visits. Well, that really can't happen until, I think, April 15th at the earliest. And so, or maybe even a little earlier than that. But in the end, I think what you're looking at is they're going to move things back. But they don't want to do anything until Sunday because only 1,200 of the 2,000 people have voted. I think there's a good flurry coming in right now. It looks like it's going to pass. But again, come Sunday, I think you'll see an announcement that they're going to delay things.
Generally speaking, how much of a disruption do you see happening when it comes to what teams do during the offseason? What I'm really asking is players that they would have identified they want in free agency or whatever, then maybe they don't end up getting those players because of this. Will there be holes that go unfilled as a result?
No, the only holes that will be unfilled would be if this CBA doesn't pass, because now you're taking about $700 million out of the free agent market, and now that'll make it a little bit tougher. The rules are different. For example, I mean, you can't really lay off contracts, and you have the 30% rule when you write the contracts. I mean, you can't write that good low first-year base and then put it up like $4 or $5 million the next year. There has to be a 30% maximum increase, and that's the way that does. So it makes it tougher on the teams that are tighter against the caps, and is going to cause fewer players to get contracts and bigger contracts because it just simply can't be done. So really, when you look at the way it's going to go, it's really because again, one thing you can do in free agency in the NFL, you do it all by phone. I know last year I was sitting there just finishing my show, which was on the first day of free agency, and before free agency started, I already had 50 deals. So you can do the bulk of it by phone, and then you can wait to have the guys come in for the physicals. But what you want to make sure is that you have enough time to get the cap right and everything else, because nobody knows what the cap's going to be. You can guess it's going to be 200, but if this deal goes through, it'll probably be 205.
John, so much talk about Brady being the linchpin, that he's the first domino to fall. Do you buy that, or do you think that other quarterbacks might, if they have a move, or other teams, if they have a move, might make a move before Brady does?
No, I think it's Brady first. I mean, again, Phillip Rivers, I think, is a little bit independent because I still think he's going to go to Indianapolis, and so that doesn't play into the Brady part of it. But again, Brady, whether he goes back to New England, because if Brady doesn't go back to New England, then they're going to go for Marcus Mariota, maybe trade for Andy Dalton, then that's where the ball really starts to go. And again, this is why they probably need to buy a little bit more time in free agency. To think about the idea, you're the Patriots. You don't know what the exact cap number is going to be. And if you can't get a deal done by Tuesday night, which is the second day and end day of the legal tampering part, then what happens is $6.75 million comes into this year if the CBA is not approved. So all of a sudden, you have less than $7 million to be able to spend on your own team, and it puts you in a more compromising position and probably means he is going to go. So no, I think Brady's the first one. I still think he stays, but big push is going to come from Tampa Bay. I still give Tennessee the best chance England to get him done, and don't count out the Raiders.
John, if he does end up leaving New England, what do you think the AAV looks like?
The AFC looks wide open.
No, I'm sorry, the AAV, like how much he makes for the year, his annual budget.
I think if he leaves, it's probably going to be 32, 33 million, could be as high as 34, probably in that Ben Roethlisberger range. So I think it's going to be 34, 33 million.
Would that be hard for you if you were pulling the trigger on this? If you were one of these executives for a team, and I know what Tom Brady's done, he's been the GOAT, but from watching what you watched last year to investing that kind of money, how difficult would that be for you, John?
depends on what your philosophy is. If you're going to go for it this year and you think you have enough, it may not be a bad idea. If you're a team like San Francisco, who is, I mean, really, when you look at it, of all the teams that might be interested, and that includes the Patriots, San Francisco has the best chance to go to the Super Bowl if Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. What you don't know about Tom Brady is how good he still is based on the poor receiving core that he had. I mean, he completed 60% of his passes to a group that just didn't have hardly anything other than Julian Edelman. And so, but again, you know, it would be a great fit for San Francisco, but here's where the problem is. If you put a $34 million contract and then take the cap hit on Jimmy Garoppolo, you're shortening your window of going to the Super Bowl because now you're losing Eric Armstead, you're losing different type of players because you can't get it. It's going to be harder to get a deal done with George Kittle, harder to get a deal done with DeForest Buckner. So you're really shortening your window if you put that kind of contract on that team. So it depends on the team. Like, for example, you can make a pitch in Tampa because if they can keep a little bit of that defense together and they got a lot of cap room, if you put Brady down there with the best duo, wide receiving duo in football in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and OJ Howard and then give him a running back, now you're talking. I mean, that could be a team that could come out of nowhere and be a factor.
Over the last couple of weeks, there had been some Andy Dalton and Derek Carr rumors to the Bears. Any truth to those, or do you think that team is still pretty much tied in with Mitch and are going to stick with him?
No, they're sticking with Mitch, but it's the same way that Tennessee stuck with Marcus Mariota. You know, they made the trade for a fourth-round pick to get Ryan Tannehill in there, and then Ryan Tannehill then took over and eventually got them to a championship game. But I think it's going to be the same thing. That's why, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, Nick Foles, I think, would be in the mix just because, you know, you got two or three coaches who work with him at Philly. That could be a trade that could work. Andy Dalton could be a trade that can work. And then you look at, you know, maybe Derek Carr if they go for Brady or Jameis Winston or go for Marcus Mariota. So, you know, I could see any of those three being possibilities in Chicago.
John Clayton, always great to have you with us. Thanks so much for the time. Have a terrific weekend.
Okay, thank you.
That is the Professor John Clayton on 101 ESPN. Many countries around the world are dealing with the coronavirus outbreak. In Thailand, the outbreak has led to gang violence from an unsuspecting crowd. That's next before 101 ESPN's Take It or Leave It.